Welcome to the Fitness and Lifestyle Podcast with me, your host, Danny Kennedy, and you're listening to episode number 73 with Jed Beaton. All right, guys, welcome back to this week's episode of the Fitness and Lifestyle Podcast, and today we are joined by professional motocross rider Jed Beaton. So, Jed, thanks for joining us, mate, all the way across from the other side of the globe.
Yeah, no problem.
Mate, for the listeners, I'll get you to just go into a quick bit about yourself, a bit of a background on your riding career so far, where you grew up, where you started out racing, and where you're currently racing at the moment.
Yeah, I grew up in Tasmania. I lived there for probably 12 years, and then we ended up moving to Victoria. Spent about 3 years there, and I ended up winning my first ever MX2 title when I was 18. Then,
For those that are listening that have no idea what MX2 kind of involves, what size bike and everything is that?
That's the 250cc. MX2 is pretty much like anyone between the age of 16 to 35, I guess, when people start giving up and racing, you know.
Yep, and then from there, what did you move on to after that?
After that, pretty much, I sort of got the chance to come over and do Motocross of Nations after winning that title. And then, I got speaking to a few people over here, and just through Facebook and that, ended up landing myself a ride in Europe for 2017. So, since then, pretty much been over here for the last 6 or 7 months, and it's all been going pretty good. Took me a while to get used to it over here, but
yeah, I can imagine.
So it's starting to go good now.
Whereabouts in Europe are you?
Based in Oss, a little town called Oss in the Netherlands.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, and do most people in that town speak English, or how did you go with the whole culture change?
Yeah, it's not so bad when I go out and get lunch and stuff like that. It's easy. Everyone pretty much speaks English. But when I first moved here, it was sort of a little bit different to get used to. Like, the whole culture side of things, completely different to back home. Everyone's sort of still laid back over here, which is good. Made it easier to fit in. And, it's been completely different. But
yep,
it's been enjoyable. I've enjoyed every hour that I've been here, pretty much. So, I definitely love it over here.
It's unreal. So, for those listening, mate, what goes into a race day? So, from the moment you kind of get up out of bed to the moment you go back to bed, what goes into it, physically and mentally throughout race day?
A lot, really. Like, for race day, it's pretty much all that happens during the week, all the work that you do during the week makes a good race day. So, you got to make sure you're putting 100% into every day. Making sure you can be the best you can be on the Saturday and Sunday that you race. So, I don't know, a lot of time and effort goes into my training, really.
Yep.
I try to keep as focused as I can on just doing two things a day. Mainly try to do some high intensity stuff in the morning and then a bit of low intensity in the afternoon to recover for the next day. But depends what I'm doing. Like, I've got a pretty much a program that I follow and just stick to. Then I know what days I'm going riding and what days I have to go cycling and do all that kind of stuff. So it's a bit easier when you got a program. And when I first moved here, I sort of didn't have a program, and it took me a while to find my feet over here and get everything organized. Like, I come all the way over and pretty much only had a pair of runners, you know. So I did a lot of running to start with, but now I've finally got a mountain bike and a cycle, so it's much easier to do everything like that.
Yeah, cool. And once you turn up to the track, then what goes into the prep before the race? How long do the races last, and what do you do between races?
You pretty much, the race goes for 35 minutes, so 30 minutes plus 2 laps normally. So when we go to the track and practice, we try to simulate how much time we actually do racing and try to put the same amount of intensity into what we're training for. So it's sometimes it's a bit easier if you can find a friend or someone to go riding with and just try and push the limits like you do in a race. And I think doing that makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, 100%. And you know, a few mates that I know, or even just people that I know that I speak to that are involved in motocross and supercross racing and stuff, kind of go into detail about how physically demanding it is. And you know, I still watch a lot of the AMA and all that type of stuff as well. And I think most people don't have much of an idea of how, you know, physically demanding it actually is. Like, on average, what would you say your heart rate is at for, let's say, a 30-minute moto? Or how intense is it?
Yeah, for a 30-minute moto, it's up there a fair way. And it also depends, like, how rough the track is. And towards the end of the day, you sort of get more tired, but that's when you need to be more onto it, because the track's harder to ride. It's a lot deeper, bumpier, everything's sort of harder. So I think the fitter you can be for that last race, the better. It normally varies between like 160 and 200, like depends how hard the track is and how you're going. And how many scary moments you have through the race. I guess that spikes the heart rate pretty quick sometimes.
Bloody oath, I can imagine. Like, say for example, if you did have, you know, a bit of a scary moment, whether you kind of, you know, ran into someone or had a jump where you didn't land as well as you'd like, how long does it usually take you to get your heart rate back to where it normally should be if you get something where it kind of scares the shit out of you and then you get it back to normal?
Yeah, it takes nearly half a lap. Sometimes when you're actually riding, you don't really think about too much. So when something like that happens, that's on your mind for a fair while, and riding around at that pace and you're sort of thinking about everything that's just happened and everything's going through your head pretty quick and crazy. So you got to sort of try take a few deep breaths and get back to focusing on the track as quick as you can. But sometimes it takes longer than others.
Yeah, I can imagine. On that topic, mate, give us a bit of a list of some of the injuries you've had over the years, obviously motocross, and so do you race supercross in Australia as well?
Yeah, I did one season of supercross, but didn't really go to plan, like the injury side of things. I hurt my shoulder a little bit beforehand, like separated my AC a little bit, so
okay,
I sort of struggled with that season of supercross. And over here in Europe, there's not really that much supercross. It's basically motocross, so
yeah,
I enjoyed motocross more. That's why I sort of took this path to come to Europe.
Yeah, awesome. So give us a quick list of some of the injuries you've had.
First off, I started I broke both wrists. I did my arm. I've done T5 and 6 vertebrae in my back, my thumb, both collarbones, got plates in both collarbones. I did my leg, ankle. I don't know, the list goes on. I've done a lot, to be honest.
That's insane. So obviously it's going to be hard. It's hard to come back from any injury, regardless of what sport you play. But how does that affect you, probably more so mentally, when coming back to racing? Like, obviously jumping on the bike at training and stuff, you'd probably be absolutely wrapped. But do you feel like once you come back to racing after a big injury, it's harder to just keep your mind focused on the race itself? Do you feel you find yourself thinking about the injury?
Yeah, a little bit. Depends how big an injury it is, and like how much time you have off the bike. So
yeah,
some injuries can put you off the bike for six months or so, depending how big it is. But the longest amount of time I've had off is 3 months, and coming back after that, sort of feel really weird because everything's a bit off balance and you haven't done it for a long time. But it sort of doesn't take too long to get everything back. Like, if you do a couple of weeks worth of good riding, then you don't really think about it towards 4 weeks side of things. After that, it's pretty much out of your mind. But for the first 4 weeks or so, it's always in the back of your head, like, oh, I don't crash and land on that spot. And if you're going to crash, then, like, avoid that area as much as you can.
Yeah, 100%. What was I going to say? Oh, so, as I mentioned before, I watched a bit of the AMA, and throughout the Supercross season, I'm sure you saw with Ken Roczen's crash, how he done his wrist. Like something like that, surely if he come off once he's back on the bike now and just put his hand out, it wouldn't take much for his wrist to go all over again.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It was a pretty crazy injury, and he's sort of, he was one of the guys that was meant to have a lot of time off. Like, I think he was meant to have pretty much 8 to 12 months off, but he's back way quicker than what anyone ever thought. So he's back riding now, and I'm not sure, like, I'm not his doctor, so I'm not sure how good it's going or anything.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, he's back on the bike, and yeah, I couldn't tell you if he had a small crash and put it out whether it'd do it again or not, but I think it'd be definitely on his mind to stay away from tucking the front on that side, I guess.
100%, yeah. I don't care who you are. Surely that's got to play on your mind to some degree.
100%, 100%.
How early did you start taking physical conditioning seriously? So as we were talking about before, how physically demanding it is, I think I actually saw or heard somewhere the other day that it's ranked at one of the top sports in the world in terms of being physically demanding. So
yeah.
Obviously you need to take your conditioning and everything seriously. So how early did you start kind of really putting a plan into place? Like at what age did you go, oh, I need to, you know, put some time in off the bike as well as just riding?
Yeah, I was sort of the first 13 years of racing, like I sort of did it as fun and didn't really care about my results too much. And then my last year of junior racing when I was 15, I put a little bit of effort in, but everything started to become much easier and much better then. And when I turned 16, that was my first year pro, so I definitely put a lot of effort into that year, and then started to feel like riding was much easier after I did put the work in, so it made it more rewarding. When I was 16, I put a little bit, but not too much, like didn't overdo it, and then I knew I stepped up to the class above the year after, and I knew I needed to put a lot more effort and work into it, and when I did that, it's just so much easier to do it, and I felt that all my injuries come through my junior career sort of thing, and I think that's from the lack of effort that I put in, but definitely putting in the effort made it a lot easier to ride and more comfortable anyway, so I think the benefit of that is just everything comes easier and less injuries, I guess.
Yeah, and that applies across all sports and all different codes of sport, doesn't it? Like that preparation is definitely always the key. It makes it so much easier on game day, race day, match day, whatever we're talking about. And with the physical conditioning obviously comes your nutrition as well. So what's your nutrition like, mate?
Yeah, my nutrition's not so bad, but just this last year I've sort of started doing a bit more nutrition side of things. To start with, I didn't really think it was that important, but definitely since I've started doing it, it's 100% more important than just eating whatever you want. I find that you feel a lot cleaner and like you can do a lot more. You don't lose energy and just stuff like that. Just simple little things that can make the day so much better by just eating a little bit better.
Yeah, do you have like a favorite pre-race meal or ritual or something like that you have before every race?
Yeah, pretty much. Just get the old poached eggs or something into me before a race day, just because it's normal. Get some scrambled eggs and always the same on race day. It's just if you change it up, you feel different, you know. So just have the same thing. I've been having that for like the last 2 years now, so it just feels normal to do that.
Yeah. I want to go back again just quickly to the mental side of things for a little bit. Like when you're lining up on the start gate before a race, I don't know if it, I'm assuming it does, but I don't know if it gets easier over time, but like what's kind of going through your head before every race when you're lining up against, you know, however many other guys are next to you on the gate? What goes through your head?
Trying to get a good start is what you really want, because that makes your whole race. If you get a bad start, then you're always stressed about like how many guys you have to pass in the first lap and what you have to do. But if you get clean track to start with, then it sort of makes it a whole lot easier. And you just put me personally, I just put my head down and try imagine myself getting a good start and doing a good race before I actually go out there and do it. So then I'm already in the state of mind when I actually roll up to the line, then I'm ready to go, you know.
Yeah.
When I was a bit younger, I never used to do that, and I think it's helped me out a lot, being in the mental state that you want to get a good start and you want to do good laps. It's better than just going, yeah, I'll just go out there and see how it plans out and see how it goes. But no, it's definitely a big thing, and confidence is also a big thing for a start and riding. If you have a lot of confidence, then everything else comes easier too. You don't feel like you're in the wrong spot at the wrong time sitting on the start line with 40 other guys.
Yeah, funny. I can imagine coming into the first turn, you know, it would be a bloody pretty scary thing when you've got that many other guys right next to you.
Yeah, especially when you're buried deep in the pack, it's pretty scary. You don't know where everyone's going to go, so it's definitely a lot easier when you're at the front. You can sort of choose where you're going to go and cut other guys off instead of being cut off.
100%. So on a weekday, say for a training session, I'm assuming you don't just go out and just ride lap after lap after lap. Like, do you have, for example, you might go in one day and work on your turns, or you might go and work on your starts and stuff like that. I'm assuming it's like any other sport. You just have to focus on repetition after repetition.
Yeah, pretty much. You just got a routine that I stick to anyway. So like on a Tuesday, I'll go out there and I always do a 20-minute warm-up, just roll around, get the body warm and used to it. And then I try to stimulate a race day on the first moto. And then second one, I try to go out there and do really high intensity, fast laps with some starts to start it off. So sort of stimulate a race day as much as I can. And I feel that helps, because that's what I was lacking before I got here. And doing that is definitely help me improve, and just having a good structure when you go to the track is also a good help too, because you sort of know what you're doing, and the time goes much quicker and easier when you just have that routine to stick to.
Yeah, for sure. Mate, do you have any plans of coming back and racing in Australia anytime soon?
Not anytime soon. I love it over here, you know, so I'm going to try to sort something out for next year and hopefully many years after that. But I'd definitely like to come back to Australia when I'm a little bit older and try to sort something out back home to probably finish my career and stay in Australia after that.
How old are you now?
I'm only 19.
19?
Yeah.
That's insane, mate. Living overseas, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty different, especially coming over by myself. It was a big move to start with, but like I said, I'm starting to find my feet now, so everything's become a lot easier in the last 2 to 3 months, and yeah, I'm enjoying it a lot, so I hope to stay over here.
Yeah, and I guess that experience against the riders over there would be priceless if you do decide to come back here at any stage, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Over here, there's many more riders that are at a higher pace. Back home, there is good guys, but there's just not as many, and I think everyone at home does everything privately, like trains on their private tracks and trains private behind the scenes. They don't want anyone to know what they're doing for fitness side of things either. So over here, it's just a lot more laid back. You rock up to the track and there's probably 5-6 other pro guys on some days. And,
yeah,
and if you get a good day, there's 20 pro guys there that are all going fast. So you can learn a lot every time you ride over here. And back home, you just got yourself to learn off, and if you've got a coach or someone helping you out, you can learn a lot off that. But over here, I definitely think it's beneficial to be able to see and ride with the guys that are actually at the top.
Yeah, and I keep referring back to the AMA, but I was looking the other day at how I think it might be, who is it? A group of guys that train together. I remember Dungey and even Roxon and a few of those guys used to ride against each other every day with the same trainer, like something like that. Surely when you're, you know, to be the best, you got to be up against the best every single day, not just one day a week.
Yeah, exactly. So then the benefit for them guys is they're not doing everything by themselves. They're going training together, they're going riding together, and I think that's a big benefit of doing that. And I think at the moment, Australia is the only place that's sort of not doing that.
Yeah. Why do you think that is? Is it just like a bit of a culture thing? It's always been the same, or?
No, I'm not sure. It's a hard one to figure out why they do that. I think it's just, I don't know, it's, they don't want anyone to see what they're doing. It's sort of a little bit of a privacy thing, and I don't see the point of that really, like, because a race day is a race day. It's whoever's better on that one day is going to get the win, I guess, and it takes a lot of things to be good on that day and a lot of things to go right. So training together, I think, is definitely better and beneficial for everything.
Yeah, definitely. Ed, could you just give us a quick rundown again of the actual classes in the where you are at the moment in Europe? So, like, so what size bike are you racing at the moment?
I'm racing a 250 at the moment, and I'm racing in the EMX 250 class, which is either a class for guys that are really young and want to prove themselves in Europe, I guess, and the people... The MX2 class here has an age limit of 23, so okay, when people age out of that, they can either go to the EMX 250 class or they can go to the 450 class. And if they don't want to race 450s, then generally they drop back to the EMX 250 class and race with us. So there's a lot of different vary of ages in that class, and in MX2 it's pretty much probably 16, 17 to 23. But yeah, definitely the pace in MX2 is a little bit faster than what EMX is, so I've got to step up and do two rounds with them so far, and I've got another round to come, so I'm looking forward to that and learning as much as I can and try put it into next year.
Awesome. And how long do you plan to stay on the 250? Like, do you ideally do you want to end up on the 450 some stage in the next few years, or?
Yeah, hopefully in the next 2 to 3 years. Like, I'm quite a tall guy and pretty heavy for a 250, so definitely 450 is where I'm aiming for, and hopefully my results are good enough in the next couple of years or the next 2 years, yeah, to try and find something in the bigger class and then cement myself there as one of the top guys, hopefully.
Cool. And just back to the, just one more question on the physical side of things with your training, what do you find the most beneficial side of training in terms of strength and conditioning that helps you on the bike? Like, is it the core strength? Is it the power and stuff through your hips and your glutes? Like, what is it? I know as well you guys get a lot of arm pump, or if, you know, like through the forearms and stuff. So what do you find is the most beneficial part of that strength training for you?
I think it's a little bit of everything. If you have a good good strong core and glutes and legs, then you can definitely grip the bike a lot more with your legs and not have to worry about your arms so much. But I think, like, even just the stamina side of things, if you can hold on to the bike for longer without getting stuffed, I think, like, definitely the cycling helps me feel more comfortable on the bike, just because it's just so good for the cardiovascular. It's just... gives me a lot more energy and stuff to go for a long amount of time. So I find cycling is good, and just spending a bit of time in the gym, working the muscles a bit stronger and the core definitely helps a lot. So I don't know, it's a combination of everything to feel comfortable and try not to get arm pumped. But in a race situation, it's definitely hard to not get arm pumped because you're definitely thinking about a lot of things. So when arm pump comes on the mind, it sort of hits hard and you start going slower and slower. So it's a bit of a pain, but you just got to try find the way around that and do enough you can to prevent it.
If you've got a couple of races in one day, and say, for example, you get arm pump in the first one, what do you actually do about that between races to make sure that it doesn't, that you don't get it again in the second moto, or even that it's still not hanging around for the second moto?
Yeah, well, it's sort of good if you're on the track a couple of times during the day, then you sort of stay really warm. Where if you're only on the track once or twice a day, then you sort of, you warm up, you cool down, and you got more chance of getting it when that happens. So if you generally go out there in the first one and you get a little bit of arm pump, it's sort of a good thing because then you get it and it goes away and you sort of stay warm. You go out there for the next one and you don't get it, and then the ride after that you don't get it at all. So when it's sort of in your head that you're not going to get arm pump, I think that helps out a lot. Where if you go out there in the morning and cool down, go for a race in the afternoon, then you're sort of thinking about it because you're like, man, I've been sitting here cooled down all day. Generally helps if you do a bit of a warm up beforehand, but it's a bit hard when you're under the pump trying to make sure everything's ready for the race.
Yeah, 100%. And for anyone listening at the moment that may be a younger rider or someone that's wanting to start out motocross, what would be your best advice for them in terms of their training and on race days and stuff like that?
For a young kid, would definitely to be have a lot of fun to start with, and then see how you go. And if you're starting to get a lot better, then start to take the fitness side of things serious, and everything sort of just snowballs from there. It's just starts off as a lot of fun, and you've just got to enjoy every minute that you do it. So I find the fun part of things is definitely the most important, and then after that, you sort of build the fitness up and then see how you go.
Great. Mate, thanks so much for joining us today. Jed, we really do appreciate it. If those listening do want to keep up with your progress for the rest of the season, how can we see your results, or are we able to watch it online or anything like that? I can chuck a link in the show notes below.
Yeah, there's you can watch it live on MXGP TV, but I'm not sure. I think you might have to pay a subscription, which kind of sucks, but you can definitely follow me through my social media, and I normally post how I go and where we're at. So yeah, if you want to follow along, just give that a follow.
Beauty. I'll chuck all those links in the show notes below. Thanks so much for joining us, mate. Good luck for the rest of the season. And for those that are at home listening, appreciate you joining us today. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast, and we look forward to bringing you to another episode next week. Thanks, mate.
No worries. Thanks for having me.